Welcome to Sound Off with Lewis Woodard.
How can you not know who Lewis is? Oh, my God. You hear his voice, you recognize who he is.
Wrapping up the day in sports in a fast-paced, high-energy atmosphere. You got an opinion? Bring it strong or don't bring it at all.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
Dial 843-652-3776 or Sound Off on Twitter at 1003TheTeam.
This is a special person.
Now, your host, Lewis Woodard.
Man, what to talk about today? My goodness. A lot of days it's very difficult to structure a radio show and find the topic that moves, but today it really should not be. 843-652-3776 is the number. Coach Steve Spurrier resigns. He's very clear. He does not retire. He resigns. His position is the head ball coach at the University of South Carolina. And it's really interesting that last week we had that show where we basically posed the question, what is positive right now about the immediate future for South Carolina football? And we couldn't come up with any answers. There was just a lot of negativity about the staff, about the recruiting efforts, and about the future in terms of the next couple of games in the next 2 or 3 years with the staff as currently constructed. And it almost seemed like we were closing our own book on the Spurrier era right here on this show. And that's kind of the way I felt this season has been going. I didn't think going into the season necessarily that Spurrier was going to be on the way out or South Carolina would be this bad. But as each individual week has progressed and the ball coach looked more tired, his answers to the press seemed even more vague. I mean, the answer when he was asked whether Missouri knew what plays he was running, I mean, that was when I knew it was over. I mean, he put up no fight whatsoever in that exchange with John Whittle and just kind of shrugged and said, yeah, you know, we were running two plays. That's not surprising. They knew them both. When I heard that, I just thought, you know, he's going to be done at the end of the season. They're going to announce at some point over the next week or two that he would retire at the end of the season. What I didn't expect was last night to be in my kitchen chopping up vegetables, trying to throw together some dinner last minute, and all of a sudden get a phone call, and then my phone blow up with about 80 different texts with a wide range of opinions on whether what Coach Steve Spurrier did yesterday was the right or the wrong thing for the program, for himself, and for, more importantly, the kids that he offered scholarships to in a vision for South Carolina football to that he is no longer able to pay off on. 843-652-3776. Going to get into this right now. Basically, we're going to open the show with a question of, is it self-serving that Spurrier leaves right now in the midst of a bad season? Is it this simply a case of a guy who doesn't want to take his medicine? Or is this the best move for the football program at South Carolina and ultimately a good thing that he ends up retiring right now? And I will tell you that originally when I heard the news, I thought this is weak because he has a number of players that count on him and went to South Carolina because of him. And I guarantee in the middle of the recruiting cycle and 12, 13, 14, 15, and so on, if these guys knew that there would be a time when they could be looking at 3 or 4 win season in the face and knowing that Spurrier would quit midway through the season, I think they would have lost a lot of recruits. And having personally been on a roster when there is a coaching change before, albeit a different sport 5 years ago, it still hurts, man. When what you end up getting is not what you thought you were buying to begin with, that is a difficult process. So I'm always, my first inclination in a lot of these situations is to think about the athletes and what they're going through right now. But then the more I thought about this, and another thing I thought about was, well, you know what? He is keenly aware of his place in football history, and this is a guy who's very proud. He doesn't want an 0-8 in the SEC on his resume. And if he announces that he is retiring at the end of the season, what's his last game? It's at Williams-Brice Stadium. Who are they playing? The number 5 team in the country, the Clemson Tigers. If they go into that game 11-0 and then beat the heck out of the ball coach in what's supposed to be his last home game, his last hurrah where a lot of fans are showing up, nostalgic, wanting to see him coach his last game, part of me wanted to see him, even with an undermanned, under-talented South Carolina team out there throwing haymakers. Going deep all the time. Just trying to win, man. just competing into his last breath as a coach, so to speak. And then the more I thought about it, after I got over the idea that he quit on his team a little bit and thought about it, this is actually, in my opinion, putting South Carolina in a bigger position to succeed as a program. And I'm going to get more into my thoughts on this, but I'm going to let Spurrier and his words do a little bit of the talking here before I weigh in on more of my opinion. But he really effectively ends up answering the question of why not at the end of the year? Why not now? And I bought his answer. Now, he does make it very clear that he is not retiring. He is resigning.
Okay, first of all, I'm resigning. I'm not retiring. I'll get that part straight. I doubt if I'll ever be a head coach again, but, you know, maybe coaching a high school team or something. So don't say I've retired completely from coaching. Who knows what will come in the future.
I thought that was interesting. I'm at the ball coach just prowling a high school sideline. I can't see that, man. But who knows? Who knows whether he gets bored again? But no one is going to hire him to run a college program when you will basically run into the same questions about his age and recruiting again. But I thought that was interesting that he made that clarification there. He does go on to say that he personally felt that the program was going in the wrong direction, and he feels responsible for that.
You can't keep a head coach that's done it as long as I have when it's heading in the wrong direction. And really today, when I move out of the way and Sean Elliott's going to take over as the interim head coach, it sort of starts our rebuilding or building back what we had just 2 years ago. And it was only 2 years ago that we were fourth in the nation and the last of those 11 and twos. And somehow or another, we've slid, and it's my fault. I'm responsible. I'm the head coach. And it's time for me to sort of get out of the way and let somebody else have a go at it. And I really believe Sean will bring some enthusiasm, energy, passion that our team will excel. And I think we'll all be proud of the way our guys play out there Saturday. I'm looking forward to watching it myself.
Spurrier references Sean Elliott there, his offensive line coach who has been made the interim head coach. We'll later have some of Elliott's thoughts on his situation right now and some of Ray Tanner's comments on Elliott later in the program today. But this is really what I was driving at to start the show. Why resign last night as opposed to retiring after the end of the season? And this is what Spurrier had to say.
The part about what right now, yeah, President said, why can't you just go through the end of the year and announce this is your last year? I find that that doesn't work a lot, because if the players know you're not going to be their coach after such and such a time, it, you just don't have the accountability, I think. And also, it gives us a chance to hire an interim head coach. Gives us a chance. Coach Tanner hired Sean and gives him a chance to make his mark for these next six games. And I think the team needs to hear a new message, a new voice from another coach. And Sean's going to do that, and I think he's going to do an outstanding job. And hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully a lot of our coaches on the staff here will still be here next year. And of course, I'm pulling for Sean. But it gives us a little time to start rebuilding.
And what were we talking about yesterday in the second half of the show? Spurrier calling out Brandon Wildes for not playing against LSU through bruised ribs. Freshman defensive end Shamik Blackshear saying that he should have listened to his parents and gone to more schools in the recruiting process, indicating that he's unhappy at South Carolina right now. Spurrier right there says he felt like in that particular moment his team needed a new voice. And he didn't quite explicitly say it, but he's saying that his voice isn't working in that locker room anymore. And he also wants to give Sean Elliott a chance to earn the head coaching job. And Spurrier, I think this is a fault of his throughout the course of his run as a head coach, has called all of the ball plays, so to speak. I mean, who's going to come and be Spurrier's offensive coordinator when every ounce of success for that offense is going to be, oh, it's the Steve Spurrier offense? And when we talk about an underachieving staff, a big reason why is because all he has is co-offensive coordinators, right? No one is the de facto number two on offense, because Spurrier overshadows the offensive side of the football. So they were never going to get a coach-in-waiting caliber assistant or a head coach-caliber assistant to come in, because Spurrier wasn't going to share his toys on offense. And toward the end of his career, when he got, frankly, older and more tired, that delegation style doesn't work if your staff isn't as effective. And at least in this moment, he is giving someone on his staff on the offensive side of the football the spotlight. We'll see what Sean Elliott has. And while you can choose to be more cynical and say, you know what, he didn't want to go out losing to Clemson, or maybe he didn't want to have an 0-8 in the SEC on his resume in his last year, you could also flip that coin and say, this guy has been on his staff since 2010. Maybe he thinks he's got head coach written on him and wants to give him a legitimate run here. You can look at it as saying, okay, he's a coward, or you can say he's loyal to Sean Elliott. I mean, there are many, many ways. And this situation, like Spurrier himself, is ultimately very fascinating and complicated with both rights and wrongs involved in it. And he does continue saying, and I thought this was interesting as well, he finally admits, after the struggle with the media over the last two or three years, he finally admits that he was a recruiting liability.
Yesterday, I was sort of a recruiting liability. It's hard to recruit when your coach has done it a long time, and at a certain age, the recruits want to know that guy's going to be there 5-10 years from now. And with a new coach here, I think it really is going to pick up recruiting. I really believe that. So we got a new message going, and I think our rebuilding process is in place.
And I'm going to get into this a little bit later in the show as well, but I can't help but think a little bit about the best football player in the Grand Strand this year, in the last 5 years, and perhaps more than that, depending on your opinion on Golson. I never watched Golson in high school, so I'm not going to weigh in on that debate, but Bryan Edwards, the 6'3", 4-star receiver out of Conway. The kid is a baller. He is a flat-out baller, and he's one of those kids that's committed to go to South Carolina next year. And he said that he's basically remains committed to South Carolina, but he's going to keep his options open, that he's going to think a little more about his future now, and it's going to be hard for that staff to hold on to kids, but at the same time, it's going to allow them down the road to not have the main narrative about recruiting be, when is Spurrier going to go? There's got to be a little bit of relief now that, hey, it's actually here, and it's actually now. And this is also what's interesting to me, and we're going to get to your call here momentarily, Big Pauly. This is what's interesting to me, is when he knew he was going to retire, and he pinpoints the Central Florida game and the struggles then as when he started to actually think about it.
Pretty much Sunday morning. Actually, I went and talked to Coach Tanner Sunday afternoon. But actually, when we were 2-2, I called him up, and I said, Coach, I'm going to try to get through this season, but I sense that this is about it for me. I just sense it's it. Central Florida, it was a struggle against those guys. As you know, we came in at halftime behind, and it was a struggle. And man, I said, you know, I don't know if I need to continue having these kind of struggles. But we talked briefly then, and then we talked briefly this past Sunday. And when something is inevitable, I believe you do it right then. You don't wait a week. You don't wait 2 weeks. This has to happen. Let's do it. Let's do it, and let's get started in a new direction. So that's what we hope to do today.
And you hear the word inevitable and not wanting to go through the motions when he knew it wasn't the right thing to do for the university and wanted to get it done now, wanted to give Sean Elliott a chance to see if his message motivated the team to play better because he personally knew that his voice was lost and he wasn't going to be able to turn around this team and thought it was a distraction for the university if he were to retire at the end of the season. And this is convenient right now. We're going to get to Ray Tanner's thoughts later on, that Ray Tanner can start conducting a national search for the next head coach of South Carolina. So ultimately, when I heard the news yesterday, I thought this guy is being selfish right now, and he is not going down with a ship, so to speak, that he's turning his back on his kids, and that he just probably doesn't want to lose to Clemson in his last game. That's my initial instinct. And then having heard him today, I thought about it and said, you know what? This actually is what's best for the university. And it does give a guy in Sean Elliott, who's worked for him for 5 years, this is his sixth year actually, and done a decent job, this gives him a chance to prove himself. And why not wait? Why not give Ray Tanner a running start on finding his replacement? And I was won over a little bit today. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on the way he went about resigning. And we're going to get into the future of the South Carolina program, both immediately and long-term, later in the show. 843-652-3776. We get things started on the phone lines with Big Pauly. Big Pauly, what's going on, man?
Welcome to Sound Off with Lewis Woodard.
How can you not know who Lewis is? Oh, my God. You hear his voice, you recognize who he is.
Wrapping up the day in sports in a fast-paced, high-energy atmosphere. You got an opinion? Bring it strong or don't bring it at all.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
Dial 843-652-3776 or Sound Off on Twitter at 1003TheTeam.
This is a special person.
Now, your host, Lewis Woodard.
Man, what to talk about today? My goodness. A lot of days it's very difficult to structure a radio show and find the topic that moves, but today it really should not be. 843-652-3776 is the number. Coach Steve Spurrier resigns. He is very clear. He does not retire. He resigns. His position is the head ball coach at the University of South Carolina. And it's really interesting that last week we had that show where we basically posed the question, what is positive right now about the immediate future for South Carolina football? And we couldn't come up with any answers. There was just a lot of negativity about the staff, about the recruiting efforts, and about the future in terms of the next couple of games in the next 2 or 3 years with the staff as currently constructed. And it almost seemed like we were closing our own book on the Spurrier era right here on this show. And that's kind of the way I felt this season has been going. I didn't think going into the season necessarily that Spurrier was going to be on the way out or South Carolina would be this bad. But as each individual week has progressed and the ball coach looked more tired, his answers to the press seemed even more vague. I mean, the answer when he was asked whether Missouri knew what plays he was running, I mean, that was when I knew it was over. I mean, he put up no fight whatsoever in that exchange with John Whittle and just kind of shrugged and said, yeah, you know, we were running two plays. That's not surprising. They knew them both. When I heard that, I just thought, you know, he's going to be done at the end of the season. They're going to announce at some point over the next week or two that he would retire at the end of the season. What I didn't expect was last night to be in my kitchen chopping up vegetables, trying to throw together some dinner last minute, and all of a sudden get a phone call, and then my phone blow up with about 80 different texts with a wide range of opinions on whether what Coach Steve Spurrier did yesterday was the right or the wrong thing for the program, for himself, and for, more importantly, the kids that he offered scholarships to in a vision for South Carolina football to that he is no longer able to pay off on. 843-652-3776. Going to get into this right now. Basically, we're going to open the show with a question of, is it self-serving that Spurrier leaves right now in the midst of a bad season? Is it this simply a case of a guy who doesn't want to take his medicine? Or is this the best move for the football program at South Carolina and ultimately a good thing that he ends up retiring right now? And I will tell you that originally when I heard the news, I thought this is weak because he has a number of players that count on him and went to South Carolina because of him. And I guarantee in the middle of the recruiting cycle and 12, 13, 14, 15, and so on, if these guys knew that there would be a time when they could be looking at 3 or 4 win season in the face and knowing that Spurrier would quit midway through the season, I think they would have lost a lot of recruits. And having personally been on a roster when there is a coaching change before, albeit a different sport 5 years ago, it still hurts, man. When what you end up getting is not what you thought you were buying to begin with, that is a difficult process. So I'm always, my first inclination in a lot of these situations is to think about the athletes and what they're going through right now. But then the more I thought about this, and another thing I thought about was, well, you know what? He is keenly aware of his place in football history, and this is a guy who's very proud. He doesn't want an 0-8 in the SEC on his resume. And if he announces that he is retiring at the end of the season, what's his last game? It's at Williams-Brice Stadium. Who are they playing? The number 5 team in the country, the Clemson Tigers. If they go into that game 11-0 and then beat the heck out of the ball coach in what's supposed to be his last home game, his last hurrah where a lot of fans are showing up, nostalgic, wanting to see him coach his last game, part of me wanted to see him, even with an undermanned, under-talented South Carolina team out there throwing haymakers, going deep all the time, just trying to win, man, just competing into his last breath as a coach, so to speak. And then the more I thought about it, after I got over the idea that he quit on his team a little bit and thought about it, this is actually, in my opinion, putting South Carolina in a bigger position to succeed as a program. And I'm going to get more into my thoughts on this, but I'm going to let Spurrier and his words do a little bit of the talking here before I weigh in on more of my opinion. But he really effectively ends up answering the question of why not at the end of the year? Why not now? And I bought his answer. Now, he does make it very clear that he is not retiring. He is resigning.
Okay, first of all, I'm resigning. I'm not retiring. I'll get that part straight. I doubt if I'll ever be a head coach again, but, you know, maybe coaching a high school team or something. So don't say I've retired completely from coaching. Who knows what will come in the future.
I thought that was interesting. I'm at the ball coach just prowling a high school sideline. I can't see that, man. But who knows? Who knows whether he gets bored again? But no one is going to hire him to run a college program when you will basically run into the same questions about his age and recruiting again. But I thought that was interesting that he made that clarification there. He does go on to say that he personally felt that the program was going in the wrong direction, and he feels responsible for that.
You can't keep a head coach that's done it as long as I have when it's heading in the wrong direction. And really today, when I move out of the way and Sean Elliott's going to take over as the interim head coach, it sort of starts our rebuilding or building back what we had just 2 years ago. And it was only 2 years ago that we were fourth in the nation and the last of those 11 and twos. And somehow or another, we've slid, and it's my fault. I'm responsible. I'm the head coach. And it's time for me to sort of get out of the way and let somebody else have a go at it. And I really believe Sean will bring some enthusiasm, energy, passion that our team will excel. And I think we'll all be proud of the way our guys play out there Saturday. I'm looking forward to watching it myself.
Spurrier references Sean Elliott there, his offensive line coach who has been made the interim head coach. We'll later have some of Elliott's thoughts on his situation right now and some of Ray Tanner's comments on Elliott later in the program today. But this is really what I was driving at to start the show. Why resign last night as opposed to retiring after the end of the season? And this is what Spurrier had to say.
The part about what right now, yeah, President said, why can't you just go through the end of the year and announce this is your last year? I find that that doesn't work a lot, because if the players know you're not going to be their coach after such and such a time, it, you just don't have the accountability, I think. And also, it gives us a chance to hire an interim head coach. Gives us a chance. Coach Tanner hired Sean and gives him a chance to make his mark for these next six games. And I think the team needs to hear a new message, a new voice from another coach. And Sean's going to do that, and I think he's going to do an outstanding job. And hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully a lot of our coaches on the staff here will still be here next year. And of course, I'm pulling for Sean. But it gives us a little time to start rebuilding.
And what were we talking about yesterday in the second half of the show? Spurrier calling out Brandon Wildes for not playing against LSU through bruised ribs. Freshman defensive end Shamik Blackshear saying that he should have listened to his parents and gone to more schools in the recruiting process, indicating that he's unhappy at South Carolina right now. Spurrier right there says he felt like in that particular moment his team needed a new voice. And he didn't quite explicitly say it, but he's saying that his voice isn't working in that locker room anymore. And he also wants to give Sean Elliott a chance to earn the head coaching job. And Spurrier, I think this is a fault of his throughout the course of his run as a head coach, has called all of the ball plays, so to speak. I mean, who's going to come and be Spurrier's offensive coordinator when every ounce of success for that offense is going to be, oh, it's the Steve Spurrier offense? And when we talk about an underachieving staff, a big reason why is because all he has is co-offensive coordinators, right? No one is the de facto number two on offense, because Spurrier overshadows the offensive side of the football. So they were never going to get a coach-in-waiting caliber assistant or a head coach caliber assistant to come in, because Spurrier wasn't going to share his toys on offense. And toward the end of his career, when he got, frankly, older and more tired, that delegation style doesn't work if your staff isn't as effective. And at least in this moment, he is giving someone on his staff on the offensive side of the football the spotlight. We'll see what Sean Elliott has. And while you can choose to be more cynical and say, you know what, he didn't want to go out losing to Clemson, or maybe he didn't want to have an 0-8 in the SEC on his resume in his last year, you could also, you know, flip that coin and say, this guy has been on his staff since 2010. Maybe he thinks he's got head coach written on him and wants to give him a legitimate run here. You can look at it as saying, okay, he's a coward, or you can say he's loyal to Sean Elliott. I mean, there are many, many ways. And this situation, like Spurrier himself, is ultimately very fascinating and complicated with both rights and wrongs involved in it. And he does continue saying, and I thought this was interesting as well, he finally admits, after the struggle with the media over the last two or three years, he finally admits that he was a recruiting liability.
Yesterday, I was sort of a recruiting liability. It's hard to recruit when your coach has done it a long time, and at a certain age, the recruits want to know that guy's going to be there 5-10 years from now. And with a new coach here, I think it really is going to pick up recruiting. I really believe that. So we got a new message going, and I think our rebuilding process is in place.
And I'm going to get into this a little bit later in the show as well, but I can't help but think a little bit about the best football player in the Grand Strand this year, in the last 5 years, and perhaps more than that, depending on your opinion on Golson. I never watched Golson in high school, so I'm not going to weigh in on that debate, but Bryan Edwards, the 6'3", 4-star receiver out of Conway. The kid is a baller. He is a flat-out baller, and he's one of those kids that's committed to go to South Carolina next year. And he said that he's basically remains committed to South Carolina, but he's going to keep his options open, that he's going to think a little more about his future now, and it's going to be hard for that staff to hold on to kids, but at the same time, it's going to allow them down the road to not have the main narrative about recruiting be, when is Spurrier going to go? There's got to be a little bit of relief now that, hey, it's actually here, and it's actually now. And this is also what's interesting to me, and we're going to get to your call here momentarily, Big Pauly. This is what's interesting to me, is when he knew he was going to retire, and he pinpoints the Central Florida game and the struggles then as when he started to actually think about it.
Pretty much Sunday morning. Actually, I went and talked to Coach Tanner Sunday afternoon. But actually, when we were 2-2, I called him up, and I said, Coach, I'm going to try to get through this season, but I sense that this is about it for me. I just sense it's it. Central Florida, it was a struggle against those guys. As you know, we came in at halftime behind, and it was a struggle. And man, I said, you know, I don't know if I need to continue having these kind of struggles. But we talked briefly then, and then we talked briefly this past Sunday. And when something is inevitable, I believe you do it right then. You don't wait a week. You don't wait 2 weeks. This has to happen. Let's do it. Let's do it, and let's get started in a new direction. So that's what we hope to do today.
And you hear the word inevitable and not wanting to go through the motions when he knew it wasn't the right thing to do for the university and wanted to get it done now, wanted to give Sean Elliott a chance to see if his message motivated the team to play better because he personally knew that his voice was lost and he wasn't going to be able to turn around this team and thought it was a distraction for the university if he were to retire at the end of the season. And this is convenient right now. We're going to get to Ray Tanner's thoughts later on, that Ray Tanner can start conducting a national search for the next head coach of South Carolina. So ultimately, when I heard the news yesterday, I thought this guy is being selfish right now, and he is not going down with a ship, so to speak, that he's turning his back on his kids, and that he just probably doesn't want to lose to Clemson in his last game. That's my initial instinct. And then having heard him today, I thought about it and said, you know what? This actually is what's best for the university. And it does give a guy in Sean Elliott, who's worked for him for 5 years, this is his sixth year actually, and done a decent job, this gives him a chance to prove himself. And why not wait? Why not give Ray Tanner a running start on finding his replacement? And I was won over a little bit today. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on the way he went about resigning. And we're going to get into the future of the South Carolina program, both immediately and long-term, later in the show. 843-652-3776. We get things started on the phone lines with Big Pauly. Big Pauly, what's going on, man?
he spoke what he felt in his heart. And I think in the long run, like you said, you know, people were rash, you know, were in a rush to judgment last night. But I truly think he does care for this university. He loves South Carolina, and I think this is the best thing to do at this point. Second point, because, you know, I was really becoming concerned beginning last year when, you know, 3-11-2 seasons in a row, you know, these guys are a direct result of those recruiting classes from 11-2, 3 years in a row, and it doesn't look good. The fact is we just don't have the talent we had with, you know, when Melvin Ingram was on that defense. There's 9 guys off of that defense his senior year that are in or played in the NFL. And we just don't have that kind of talent right now, and something is wrong with that picture.
Yeah, it's hard to take a look at it, Richard, and say, hey, how much of this was Brad Long leaving? How much of this was Ellis Johnson leaving? But you are right, the fact that they're prized NFL recruits. I mean, they're players who were real difference makers, were recruited when they were a 7-win program. And then when they were 11-win program, they couldn't restock the cupboard with talent like that. So, you know, we kind of discussed this last week as an idea on the show that a lot of really talented assistant coaches weren't replaced. And at this point in Spurrier's career, I mean, Richard, I don't think that he could have done a rebuilding job. I don't think that he could have taken a look at his staff and said, you know, Lorenzo Ward, Deke Adams, so on, you know, we need to get new blood in here, because I don't know what talented head coach would want to go into South Carolina right now, or assistant coach would want to go into South Carolina right now, thinking that Spurrier might step down any moment, right? I mean, I think their only shot of maybe rebuilding the staff would have been to name a coach in waiting, and that has its own sort of messy aspects along with it. I mean, you can't really find a coach in waiting situation that worked out well.
No, I agree with that. And quickly, if I may, I mean, just look at Hugh Freeze at that Mississippi situation. I didn't know much about him when he took over. And what, he's got at least 4 number one recruits at their position on that team right now. And I don't even know where this guy came from. But, you know, would you say South Carolina's a better situation than Mississippi as a whole? I mean, I would say so. But I guess we would like to think so. But, you know, hopefully that bodes well for us. We need a young guy that's willing to hit the streets and recruit, and he needs to hire staff completely with that mindset, and then hopefully we can coach him up, as Coach Ball Coach would say. One other thing, you know, I hate to keep going, but, you know, Spurrier, y'all are talking about play calling. You know, the fact is he's been saying, you know, we hired him to call ball plays. And he said himself he's probably only calling 25% of the plays right now. Well, why, well, you know, you say an offensive coordinator wouldn't want to come here. Well, the fact is, supposedly he's not even calling the plays now as it is. So I don't get it. And I wonder if that's how much of that's true. But thanks for your time. Enjoy your show.
Yeah, Richard, a couple of things there I want to touch on. I thought that was one of the aspects of this season where I thought the writing was on the wall, that it was all going to come to an end very soon, was he couldn't give a satisfactory explanation as to who's calling the plays. When he can't face the media and come up with simple answers to simple questions and kind of equivocated and says, oh, you know, Missouri knew what we were running, that kind of stuff. It just seemed like the guy had run out of answers, that he did not seem like a guy. And listen, there are people that have blips on their radar screen. I mean, there are situations. I mean, heck, I know Mike Krzyzewski eventually had those losses wiped from his record, but he goes down for back surgery, and Duke has a 4-12 year in the ACC. And he's able to come back off of back surgery and climb out of that. And, of course, he's won 3 championships since then, 2 before back surgery, 3 after it. So there is a way that once your program hits rock bottom, you can climb your way out of it. It's just Spurrier didn't have any answers. Like, he seems genuinely shocked by how quickly the program slipped, and he does not really seem to have answers right now, and that's why, you know, he stepped aside. With regard to whether Ole Miss or South Carolina is a better gig, that's a really complicated question. As one of our regular callers, JC, would say, Ole Miss redshirts Miss America. there's some talent in the Grove, as there is in Columbia as well. So those are both jobs that aren't Alabama. They're not LSU. They're not Georgia. I would put them as middle to bottom tier SEC jobs. Now, that's better than almost every other job in the country. And what South Carolina does have going for it is they are currently paying the 15th most for a head coach in the country. You look at Spurrier right now, he's making $4 million. If Ray Tanner and the powers that be at South Carolina want to say that they're going to invest that much in a head coach, and they have all of this time to put out the vibe to other head coaches out there in the country, that, hey, if you're dissatisfied with your gig, if you want a raise, this job at South Carolina is right here and right now. It's a very attractive gig, I think, because you're not following up Spurrier going 11-2. You get to come in as a conquering hero because they're going to go 0-8 or 1-7 in the SEC. All due respect to Sean Elliott, he's not really playing with a full deck of cards right now. And I mean that with regard to his roster. So whoever comes in next year is going to get the South Carolina program after Spurrier has been able to work with boosters to raise more money, to get great facilities, and they get to come in after the program's bottomed out a little bit. If he had retired after 11-2, somebody might say, wow, I don't want to take South Carolina after that. Where can you go with the program? And so now you've got a job that's going to potentially pay $4 million plus per year, has good facilities, has built a little bit of tradition, but not so much that you don't want that to take that job next. Like, who wants Bama after Saban? Whoever takes that job is going to have some serious balls. You don't have that problem with the South Carolina job anymore. So I do think it is an attractive gig. Where it ranks in the SEC is always a very complicated question. But Arkansas got Brett Bielema because they put out the vibe early, right? Their president, their athletic director made it known, this guy, John L. Smith, is not going to be our coach long term. And so every disgruntled coach in the country knew that if they wanted Jerry Jones and the family that owns Walmart, we're going to get together and pay top dollar for a big-time head coach. And Bielema had won three consecutive Big Tens at Wisconsin, was not in any of those articles like who could coach Arkansas next. He just knew that was an open job. It was going to pay a lot of money, and it was in the best conference in the United States, and it was an attractive gig for that reason. In South Carolina, everything that I just said about Arkansas 2 years ago, South Carolina has. It's got the money. I mean, they're paying right now Spurrier what Bielema's getting at Arkansas. It is in the best conference in the United States. And there is ample opportunity for people that are either dissatisfied or want more money to contact Ray Tanner or have their agents do so. So I think that's another benefit. And I think that it's a more attractive job than people would think. I mean, there are a lot of people saying, oh, it's a bottom tier SEC job. Well, how many jobs in the country can pay $4 million? Right now, only 15. I'd like to make $4 million next year. Someone out there is saying that, like literally. And there is also the aspect of, don't you want to prove it at the highest level? Don't you want to go into the SEC and mix it up? There's some opportunity in the East right now. There's some real opportunity. Who knows how long Mark Richt's going to be at Georgia for? Who knows if Derek Mason can turn Vanderbilt around? Who knows if Butch Jones can turn Tennessee into more than a top 10 recruiting class and into a top 10 program? Jim McElwain, I think he's got it, but he just lost his quarterback. Will Muschamp got hot in his second year at Florida. It didn't have staying power. We don't know that McElwain has staying power. There's an opportunity to make some noise in the East. Going to get into Sean Elliott and Ray Tanner sound next. 843-652-3776 is the number. How'd you feel about Spurrier resigning and the future of the South Carolina program? Do you think Sean Elliott has a legitimate shot at pulling a Dabo Swinney, becoming more than just an interim head coach? My thoughts on that next. This is Sound Off. Back on Sound Off Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. I'm Lewis Woodard. Going to be getting back to the South Carolina discussion here momentarily, but first, a bit of breaking news that's even more local. The Big South Conference has announced Coastal Carolina, you guys are divorcing us, so we want our engagement ring back. The Big South is saying no men's and women's basketball tournament at Coastal Carolina University anymore. And I had an inclination this was going to happen because a lot of the basketball coaches were already pissed that Coastal Carolina wins the conference back-to-back years, gets the coveted one NCAA bid that the Big South has at its disposal because, in large part, they get to host the event. Doesn't everybody want to have home court advantage when you're trying to make the NCAA tournament? And so it didn't really sell well to a lot of the other coaches out there that have good teams, like, hey, if we're going to beat Coastal Carolina to try to get to the NCAA tournament, we're going to have to beat them on their turf. So there were already some rumblings of coaches that were unhappy about it being there for three consecutive years, and now Coastal leaves the conference. And Commissioner Kaylander today, who's been a guest of this program before, just released a statement that basically said, hey, it's in our conference bylaws that if you leave the conference with less than 2 years advance notice, then we can basically take hosting privileges away from you. So, yeah, they're working to find a new hosting site. You know what? I can't even say that I'm mad at the Big South. I mean, it's unfortunate because it means a lot of dollars for this area financially. And some people have jobs organizing that event that suddenly don't have an event to organize. And it increases Coastal's chances of making the NCAA tournament if they're playing at home. So ultimately, this is a short-term negative and a long-term positive of joining the Sun Belt Conference. This is just happens to be, you know, no move is just pure good, right? In almost no move in your life or a business's life can you say, okay, this comes without any negatives, with zero drawbacks. And so one of the drawbacks of joining the Sun Belt Conference is Coastal will not get to host the Big South Tournament this year at the HTC Center. It's a bummer. I enjoyed it the last 2 years. It's fun seeing those Coastal guys.
Hate us because they ain't us.
Cut down nets. Yeah, Liberty. Well, Liberty's not a player in the men's basketball scene, but I think Liberty has, as the kids say, a little bit of butthurt right now about not being able to get into the Sun Belt and Coastal getting in. 843-652-3776 is the number. A lot of what folks calling in have said, and a lot of what people have been tweeting in are thoughts that Ray Tanner basically expressed today in the press conference about the value of Coach Steve Spurrier and how it is that he came about his decision. And one thing that I thought was interesting is he really talks about the increased brand that Spurrier brings to the table and how just having been in South Carolina, he feels that's going to elevate their shot at getting a premier head coach following Spurrier.
Well, I think it's okay to use the word easier. The impact that Coach Spurrier has made on this program, the minute he came here as a coach, he did give us a lot of credibility that maybe we were lacking. And he gave us the swagger that has been mentioned. He helped change the culture, and he won at a high level. I was a coach at the time, and I remember telling my assistant coaches, I said, men, today we got better, because the brand that Coach Spurrier brought here impacted us all. And we are in a better place than we ever have been. And I had someone call me in the wee hours and tell me, you're in a great position. And I said, really? And he said, yes, you have the opportunity to attract one of the best head coaches in the country if you don't have one already. So I said, okay, thank you for the call. So I do think that what Coach Spurrier has meant to all of us has impacted us, and we'll be able to carry that forward.
And he also mentions that he is not going to make the decision himself. Athletic Director Ray Tanner is not making a one-person decision on who it is that's going to replace Steve Spurrier.
Never liked that comment. I'm a one-man search committee, so that will not be the case. There is an advisory committee that's being formed. I'll certainly work closely with our president, Dr. Pastides, and Chairman Moore. Charles Waddell will work closely together, and we will have an advisory group, and certainly I'll consult a lot of people as we move forward. It's going to be thorough. It's important, and we're excited about where we go in the future. I'm excited today with Coach Elliott and the passion that he has for this team and the respect that he has from his coaches and his players. As I said, I visited with the captains late last night, and that was a very special meeting for me in my tenure. One of the things I'll remember most, and we'll move forward. We got a lot to be excited about here at this university, and there's a lot of passion and enthusiasm, and I expect us to move forward.
All of these audio clips are courtesy of SportsTalkSC.com. Sports Talk, the show that follows ours every night from 6 to 8 p.m. I'm sure they're going to be getting into this story plenty. In fact, I can't wait to listen to it on my drive home myself. Nothing too shocking there. It is interesting that there is going to be an advisory committee and Ray Tanner is going to use a search firm. If I'm a South Carolina fan, I might be a little concerned about how many chefs are in the kitchen there. I might. I mean, these guys are getting paid high six-figure salaries essentially to make the decision of who is the next football coach at South Carolina. And there are going to be a lot of voices in this process. Depending on how you view that, that can be a positive or a negative. But Ray Tanner taking a little shot across the bow of Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez, who doesn't use search committees, who calls himself a one-man search committee and says, search committees, consult me. So Ray Tanner clearly, without calling out Barry Alvarez there, calls out Barry Alvarez. Getting into some of the things that Sean Elliott had to say today, the interim head coach, whether or not he can become the next Dabo Swinney, the odds are certainly against him because, you know, you can do a tremendous job in this role, as Ed Orgeron did at Southern California 2 years ago. I mean, the year that Lane Kiffin got fired, Southern California won 10 games. they won 10 games, and that is in large part because Ed Orgeron made playing football fun again for the Trojans. He allowed those guys to eat dessert. He focused on some drills at practice that were less onerous and made the guys love football again. He brought in an intensity that Lane Kiffin didn't have, and those guys responded to him and played well. They played really hard. But Pat Hayden ultimately decided to not go with him and hire Sarkisian instead. And I don't know that keeping Orgeron would have been the right decision. I mean, replacing him with Sarkisian certainly wasn't. But Sean Elliott's got an uphill fight here to try to keep the gig. 843-652-3776 is the number. JC is on the line. JC, what do you got for us, man?
Hey, Lewis, how you doing?
Doing great, man. What's up with you?
Listen, I wanted to talk about Ray Tanner's comments, and this is coming from someone whose family was in Omaha for both College World Series victories. You know, right now, I don't think Ray Tanner needs to concern himself with what Wisconsin does, okay, because his track record right now is Chad Holbrook, who's been a disaster,
right,
our baseball coach. You know, Steve Spurrier, who had the greatest success in South Carolina, and in January 2014, we were a top-five team, and now we're playing Vanderbilt for the worst team in the conference.
Yep.
And so, you know, as someone who is an alum, and y'all know, is a diehard fan of South Carolina, you know, my message to Ray Tanner is I don't care what Wisconsin does, and why are we taking shots at Barry Alvarez, who has done amazing things at a Big Ten school that historically has not been, you know, a top program until Barry Alvarez got there. And so for me, you know, Ray Tanner needs to concern himself with how do we make our program better. And so I find the shot at Wisconsin to be just, you know, just unnecessary. And so, you know, Ray needs to worry about getting the football program back to where it was, and maybe put his boy, Chad Holbrook, on more of a leash so that we're not losing to Coastal Carolina midweek and not making the College World Series or the NCAA playoffs. So that's how I feel. And, you know, I'll leave you guys to talk about that.
Yeah, JC, some strong words. I kind of subscribe to that in life. Like, if you're not taking care of your business, why would you look at someone else? Like, that's one of those reasons why I don't really believe in criticizing national sportscasters, because clearly they've done something successful to get there. You know, occasionally I make a joke about Chris Berman or something like that. But in general, yeah, I mean, those people have taken care of their business at a level higher than I've taken care of mine. And JC does bring up the point that if you are Ray Tanner, and if you're a South Carolina fan and you're trusting Ray Tanner to replace the best football coach that you've ever had, and he couldn't replace himself well, and odds are he knows his baseball program in 2011 better than he knows the football program now, because how could he not know that program better? That's a little bit concerning. And I have no idea how hot Chad Holbrook's seat is. I have no idea, because he was handpicked to be Tanner's boy, how long his leash is. If they don't make another regional this year, whether he's out. I mean, I don't know that. I would say that the shape that the baseball program is in right now is a little bit troubling if you're looking at Tanner as the guy to fix the football program. That is a valid point brought up by JC. Coming up here in the final segment, a little more on Sean Elliott, his thoughts today, and a little more about the discussion of whether or not he can be more than just an interim coach. This is Sound Off. Back on Sound Off, Sports Radio 100.3 of the team. I'm Lewis Woodard. Brian Nelson doing a great job working the phones today, producing the program as always. Great job chopping up the press conference sound in short notice to bring you guys the latest thoughts from Steve Spurrier, Ray Tanner, and Sean Elliott on this very interesting day in sports media in the state of South Carolina. Bringing things back here locally, you guys have heard me talk on more than one occasion about Brian Edwards, the senior receiver for Conway, and his immense physical talent, and how I was excited that he was going to go up and play at South Carolina. It's cool when a guy can stay in this region that's a local product. It's cool turning on Thursday night ESPN on ACC football and seeing Hunter Renfrow out of Socastee catch a touchdown from Deshaun Watson. It's cool to see kids that you watch in high school make it big. And this is what Brian Edwards put on his Twitter account last night regarding his commitment status to the Gamecocks. Quote, "As of now, I'm verbally committed to USC. South Carolina is my home, and I have tons of love for it and the University of South Carolina, their program, and their fans. Obviously, the timing of Coach Spurrier's retirement is a surprise and a sad thing to see. However, at the same time, I have to do what's best for me and my future as a student athlete. I will be contemplating my future in the next few weeks in light of recent events. So he's not decommitting, but that doesn't sound 100% locked in hard commit either. And he was planning on taking a visit to Georgia just to take a visit there. So I would say that kind of sounds like that opens the door again. But who knows? If Sean Elliott closes hard, maybe you can keep the kid around. Something we're clearly going to keep a look at on this program moving forward. Sean Elliott is a very intense guy, an emotional guy, a guy that his offensive linemen have responded to throughout the couple of years that he's been at South Carolina. This is his sixth season. And it is cool that he did grow up being a South Carolina fan. And you really do, when you hear this, you pull for the guy. You want him to succeed.
Being from Camden, South Carolina, and spending a lot of Saturdays here watching the Gamecocks play, it's pretty special. It's pretty special. You know, to say it was a dream of mine as a young kid, certainly it was. Playing in the backyard every other day. I used to fight them Clemson Tigers with my friends all in the backyard, doing it all over again, you know, pretending who was going to win. So it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling.
And he also mentions that he's going to be recruiting while he's on the job. He wants to be South Carolina's head coach.
Our staff, we're going to fight our tails off. We want to be here at the University of South Carolina. I would love to be the head coach of the University of South Carolina for many years to come. But we've got a big challenge ahead of us. We've got to go out. We've got to win ball games. We've got to recruit great players. We've got to meet them. We've got to go get them. We've got to see them. And we've got to share the energy and passion that we all have as coaches to this fan base and get them back on board. That's what we've got to do.
It's going to be tough for him. I mean, he's got a difficult schedule to close out the season. And he's got Florida coming up. Treon Harris, still an above-average quarterback, Division One. I mean, there's a number of tough games. Clemson, of course. If he gets some of those upsets, he can keep the gig. But I would say the odds are heavily stacked against him. I mean, there really isn't another guy besides Dabo that you can think of off the top of your head that's been able to make that transition lately. But if there is a guy to pull for, he certainly seems like one that's worth pulling for. Let's do a little call today.
It's time for the most coveted prize in North America. Sound off call of the day.
All right, we are going to give this one to Freddie for shouting out Spurrier and basically saying, you know, hey, if he thinks his voice is tired, then let Elliott get in there.
You know, him being 70 years old, I understand and can say, yeah, I agree with you, Spurrier. If you lost the passion, it is time to go to step down now and let someone else come in there that is going to have the passion for it and willing to say, okay, I've got to do this, this, and this for recruiting.
My initial instinct was to think negatively in that, you know, he abandoned his team. But the more I thought about it, kind of agree with Freddie that, you know, maybe when you're 70, you just lose your passion for it and it happens overnight. You couldn't predict it. And ultimately, I think giving South Carolina time to replace him is what's best for the program. All right, Sports Talk coming up next. Stay right here.